Today on the Travel Guys.
Poor Heather, she has to try to do the news while three guys are wandering into the studio with a bunch of junk and knocking over things and everything. And you notice she didn't miss a beat.
I know.
Very professional.
They didn't warn her about that when she took this job, that when she does the newscasts, there's going to be a herd of buffalo charging into the studio. Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, airline tickets are on sale. Is this the time to buy? And there's a new way to claim your share of the armrest. Wait, Tom, until you hear about this one.
Mark's been to Boston and to New York this week and lived to tell about it despite the cold temps, and has some tips for us winter weather travelers.
At 3:35, Ed Perkins is going to join us to tell you about some new ways to book your hotel rooms online.
And finally at 3:50, road reporter Steve LaRosa stops by to talk to us about a trip to Rio.
Wow, Rio! This show has a bigger budget than I thought, and you know the phone could ring at any point in time today because I'm still hoping my luggage that didn't come with me last night will show up in Sacramento at any point in time, and United Airlines will be calling me, and we will talk about all that today on a lazy Sunday afternoon with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I want to root 60.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel Guys. It's a fine-looking kind of a hazy Sunday. We're here every Sunday, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, to help make you a smarter traveler, entertain you, and in all of that, maybe you'll pick up a tip or two. In fact, today's going to be chock full of travel news and information. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Yep. Probably ought to turn the microphone on there. You think so? All that stuff is going to happen today?
Yeah, absolutely. And we got
Who
Steve
told
LaRosa.
You that?
We got Steve LaRosa joining us for the first time this year.
Just back from Rio.
Yep.
We're going to
Rio,
talk to him
ladies
about
and gentlemen.
That a little bit later on here in the program.
There you go.
How have you been, Mr. Romano?
I've been excellent. Yeah, it's anxious to come in and hang out with you. I mean, this has been quite the week for travel. Here in Sacramento with the incidents out.
There was a plane that got flew into a bunch of, that happens here in Sacramento every once in a while.
Yeah, it was another bird incident and stirred up quite a bit of controversy. But you know, I think the thing that was most interesting wasn't so much that they hit some birds and they're going to have to swap out, but this is something that you can address. It's what to do when your flight has been serious delayed or canceled, and it's not just a matter of one or two people that need to rebook to get to their destination. There was an entire plane.
When your flight has been given the bird.
Yeah. Very good. Anyway, when your flight gets the bird, what do you do?
If I look like I'm a little confused here, it's because that big thing that wasn't here last week that we talked about is back here now, and I'm not sure whether to sit down. I can't sit down because it's bigger than I am. So if I stand up, then you're sitting down. And LaRosa's were wandering around the room. I have no idea what he's doing. But
it's theveradesk.com, the raisable, lowerable desk counter.
So I'm going to decide to stand up. Where were we? What was the question again?
The question is that what would you advise people do in a situation like that?
Oh,
where
my. Well,
your entire plane, your plane comes back to the gate for whatever the reason. This in case it's the bird incident, and now they all have to scramble to get to their destination.
Well, the first thing that's going to happen is the airline's computer is going to start rebooking people. It's going to start looking for what options are there to be rebooked. So first thing you're going to do is get on the telephone. While your plane is still pulling up to the gate, you're already on the telephone with American Airlines. That's what you're doing. And you're explaining to them what's happened. And it probably doesn't show up in their computer quite yet, but it's going to in just a minute. And you need to get from Sacramento to wherever it is you're going. And you'd appreciate it if they could help you right away.
Yes, don't necessarily call American. Call the airlines that your flight was delayed on, which was United.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't want people to get the wrong idea. Just call American.
No, that would be rude. I'm on United and my plane just hit a bird. No, the key is you want to be the first. You want to be first because there's only going to be, even at this time of the year, the airlines have, you say, well, there are fewer people flying. Well, the airlines have cut down the planes and the sizes of the planes that they're offering for service. So there still are no empty seats. So there's only going to be a few seats available the rest of the day. So you've got to get on the phone and you've got to get one of those seats. And the other thing you've got to mention is that for whatever reason, you politely really need to get to your destination, and you would be very happy to fly on another airline if something else was available. You might also suggest to the person on the phone, if your car is sitting at the Sacramento airport and you know that you have the ability to do that, that you would be more than happy to drive to Oakland or San Francisco or something like that. The more flexibility you show, the better off you're going to be. Remember, it's nobody's fault that the birds flew into the airplane engine. And it's not the first time it happened in Sacramento, and it won't be the last time, because that's a wildlife fly zone out there where they built our airport. So the birds have lived there long before the airplanes ever showed up. So I've never been on a plane when that's happened, but people say it's like running into a wall on an airplane, because you feel a tremendous jolt, like you've hit something. And then, of course, the plane flies on because the plane is perfectly capable of flying with one engine. And so you've got a pilot that knows what they're doing. And this is not an uncommon occurrence. It happened at TWA. I was telling you in the elevator several times in just a couple-month period when TWA used to be in business and fly out of Sacramento. And those airplane engines, by the way, when a bird destroys one, I don't know what they cost now, but back in the TWA days, they talked about them being about $270,000. So I'm guessing that they must be a little more than that now. So
I hope they have that bird collision insurance.
All right, they do.
You got some travel news today?
I have a little bit of travel news.
All right, then let's bring on the band. Let's bring on the travel news with Mark Hoffman here
on
the Travel
There's
Guys.
There's not Mark. Too much. It's kind of United Airlines news mostly here today. United. There's this guy that's 22 years old. Remember, we've talked on this show about hidden city tickets, about people buying a ticket like to Milwaukee, and getting off in Chicago because it's cheaper to fly to Milwaukee through Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, but it's true. The airline doesn't want you to fly to their hub. They want you to fly through their hub. So you take carry-on luggage, you buy a one-way ticket, you get off, and you get the cheaper fare. The airlines hate this, of course, because you're beating them at their own system. So this 22-year-old kid, Actor Air, I guess is the way you would say it, Zaman, who...
Close enough.
Yeah, close enough. Anyway, United Airlines and Orbitz are suing this 22-year-old kid because he built a website that basically shows people how to do this.
Really?
And where these fares might be and what cities you might be able to fly what is called a hidden city. You're not actually... You have no intention of flying to the city that you bought the ticket to. And it's there's lots of comparisons to this in other business, but I just think it's humorous as all heck that the airlines are suing this 22-year-old kid who figured out a way to beat their system. It will not be the last time that a 22-year-old kid beats them. United's also in trouble. They've got baggage problems in Denver. If you're flying into Denver and that's your final destination with United over the next couple weeks, just know they are having some huge issues with baggage there. If there's any way you can carry it on the airplane, I would suggest it. If you're flying another carrier, Southwest or someone, to Denver, they're not having the same problem. Here's the deal. United got rid of SkyWest, which is a legitimate in the industry sort of group that was handling their bags in Denver, and changed to a non sort of industry group a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And they're having all kinds of problems.
Hey, are your bags in Denver, Mark? Are you going to have to drive to Denver to get your luggage?
In Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago.
But it's
through
coming
Denver.
It's coming through Denver, yes, to get back to me today. And we're hoping any day, any time here that United is going to call, because some of those clothes I need when I leave on Tuesday. Let's see what else.
You can just take the call on the air, okay?
All right. If they come, that's exactly what we'll do. Listen, United's also in trouble. Somebody caught them a dog sitting on the tarmac for half an hour. This is for a United flight, and somebody was, you know, you're sitting on an airplane nowadays. You got nothing to do. You can sit there and take pictures of everything that's happening on the tarmac. So the dog is sitting in this carrier in a terrible rainstorm for half an hour and just sits there. And the people they're taking a video and taking pictures and stuff like that, putting it on social media.
He was under the wing.
He was under the wing, the wing was blocking the rain,
so what, he was okay.
That's, you must work for the air. That's what the
he could have been stuffed under my feet.
That's what the airline
carry
said.
On, you know,
he was under the wing.
Which, by the way, they charge you $95 to fly with a dog at your feet in space that you already paid several hundred dollars to sit in.
But you're not bitter about that.
No, I'm not bitter that I already paid for that space, and now I got to pay each way another $90, $95 for my dog to sit there, which they
Why
have nothing to do with.
Why in the world would you bring your dog on an airplane?
Because Ace had to come and visit Charlie and Gizmo in San Antonio. They were expecting him to be there just like my daughter was expecting us.
Oh, God. LaRosa, this is what I put up with every Sunday afternoon here. All right, we were talking about in the news about there being an armrest A new way to divide the armrest. Did you see this, Tom? Look at this.
I did. You know, what it looks like, and Steve, don't you agree? It looks like a paper airplane turned upside down.
Yeah. If it isn't, and if you go to travelguysradio.com and you scroll down where the show description is there, it's about the sixth thing under highlights. This armrest divider is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. So you can click on it and you can see a picture of it. But if you're driving around in your automobile, don't do that. It does look like a paper airplane that you've set on the armrest, and there's a way to attach it. Now this isn't adversarial at all. You sit down, and before you've said hello or good morning or anything to the person sitting next to you,
plop down the old armrest divider.
Before they're even there.
Nice to meet you.
You sit down, you plop down the armrest divider, which effectively divides an armrest that isn't big enough for two elbows to start with in half, and puts a divider in the middle of it so that you have your half and the other person has their half. And I agree, it is the most ridiculous thing. I guess it would effectively do what it is that you want it to do, but what kind of message does it send to the person that you're sitting next to?
Yeah, I can tell you, when they finally market it, people will buy it and they will use it, and we'll have the same thing we did with the seat blocker. You'll have a big shootout on the plane, or a punch out, if you will, and they'll have to take the plane back to the airport and then take these people off for squabbling over space for an armrest.
Caroline Costello from Smarter Travel is the one who calls this to our attention, and she just says part of what she talks about here is, how have we forgotten how to function as social beings in shared spaces? That we have to put anyway. There's now a new thing that you can. JetBlue has a great idea. For this is the winter travel conundrum. You can check it. You have to take a heavy coat to the airport in New York City, mm-hmm. but you're flying to Florida. You're never going to need the coat again after you get into the terminal in New York. But when you get back to New York, you're going to need the coat.
So what
again.
Do we got? Rent a coat.
They have a coat check in the terminal for you to leave your coat. For $10, you can leave for $2 a day, or $10 for a week. You can leave your coat, and it'll be right there when you come back. I think it's a great idea.
There you go. Okay.
It'll probably be gone in a few weeks, but I think it's a great idea. And so I think that's kind of pretty much all we got for the travel news for today.
Okay, we're going to talk to Mark about Boston, New York, and some tips for those of you that are going to be traveling during the wintertime. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
Yeah, we are the travel guys in every port, owning the heart of, well, no, we're not. But we are the travel guys. We're not owning anyone's hearts. Hopefully your attention here for an hour every Sunday from 3 to 4. Mark, understand you had a little bit of an excursion to Boston and New York, right?
I went back to where it wasn't warm. I'll mm-hmm. tell you what, when I got off the plane last night in Sacramento, I was never so glad to be home, because I walked through the terminal and walked outside just so I could feel the warmth. And it was 60 degrees or 58 or whatever it was right. in Sacramento. It wasn't particularly warm or particularly cold, but it was just like, wow, hallelujah, there's a place on the planet. It was around zero when I got to Boston on Wednesday night, and it got it hovered that way until I left Thursday afternoon. And when I got to New York, I never saw 20. I never saw anything with a 2 in it the whole time. So it's cold.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just when you live on the West Coast and it gets below freezing, and the wind wasn't even blowing. So the wind chill, it could have been a lot worse than it was. But it was with the wind chill, it was like 15 below. Rosa, you're from Boston, aren't you?
You know, I was going to say, any trip to Boston, I don't care how many times, I would walk the Freedom Trail, but the week that you were there, no way would I be outside walking.
Let me tell you how much I walked. I stayed at the Hilton. I purposely moved my reservation to the Hilton at Logan Airport a few days before I arrived, because I figured out there was a way there not to have to walk outside to go to get to the hotel. You know, there's a few of these hotels that are inside the airport, so to speak, and that they forgot to tell me, though, that there was this one long hallway between the terminal and the hotel that isn't heated. So that proved to be a little bit of a bummer there. I will tell you, though, it's, you know, if you're a tourist and you're hardy and the cold weather doesn't bother you, you can get some great deals on hotels at this time of the year almost everywhere. Now, Las Vegas had a huge electronics show last week, so they were probably wired last week. But this week, unless there's a big show in town, it'll be quiet. New York, Boston, Washington, D.C., all these places that people... And legitimately so. I mean, it was freezing. I mean, it was too cold really to do anything. But listen, Broadway shows are all done indoors last time I checked. And most shopping is indoors, and most attractions are indoors. So if you're willing to kind of put up with that, I would say that you can. I paid $109 to stay in what is a brand new Hilton Garden Inn just off Times Square on Thursday night. So yeah, I mean, and it was $189 the next night, which are by Times Square, and this is a brand new hotel with no business, so it was a find. But still, you can. They're throwing up a lot of these. It's you got to be real careful when you're looking for hotels in New York City right now, because they have built a lot of these. I call them box hotels, and I stayed in one, a Hilton Garden Inn, just around the corner from Times Square, and they're built in these little tiny spaces. This hotel had 8 rooms per floor. And the reason they only had 8 rooms is because that's as big as the footprint of the building is.
My gosh.
So the front desk is on the 4th floor, and it's on one of these, and the front desk and the restaurant and everything is in this space that is half what it needs to be. And so you really have to be careful, because Hilton Garden Inn's a good brand. I love staying in those properties. All the rooms have a microwave and a refrigerator, and they're generally almost as spacious as Hilton's, not quite, but they're nice hotels. But this one was what I call half a hotel. I mean, the rooms were much smaller, maybe 100 square feet smaller. And you take 100 square feet out of a hotel room, and that's a lot of space.
Yeah, well, you're looking at maybe 250 for the hotel room to begin with.
Well, exactly. So a good hotel room would be in the 350, 400 range. You get down below 300 square feet, and you're really talking about no more room than just a bed and a suitcase. And a lot of these new hotels in the Midtown area of Manhattan have been built, Holiday Inn Express, Hampton Inn. A lot of them have names that people say to themselves, oh, I've stayed in those hotels. I know what they're like. Except you don't, because you don't know what they're like in New York City. So just be really careful. And when you go online and you look at the pictures and stuff, just remember that a camera angle, a wide angle lens, can make just about anything look a lot bigger than it really is. So look at the square footage of the rooms. It's listed on almost every hotel room. And if it gets down below 300 square feet, then you know that it's going to be very tight. So you're not going to take a room like that when you've got 2 women or 2 men with 2 suitcases. Maybe you're going, you know, to a trade show and you've got an extra big case of something like that that you've got in the room. Heck, somebody would have to sleep on top of the case. I mean, it just was no room at all. Very interesting. You know, we talk about Uber being and Lyft being all over the place. You know, they've been outlawed in New York, or so they say, except that they're all over the place. And there's just kind of tug of war going on because the police are not about to arrest these guys. And the cab drivers now are starting to do not so nice things when they see somebody is doing an Uber thing. They'll cut the guy off. They'll park in a way that doesn't allow the car to get out. They'll get into an altercation with the driver. I saw it happen twice in New York City in just 2 days. And remember, these were days when people really didn't want to get outside and talk to each other.
Right.
Because it wasn't even marginally more.
With that being said, are people concerned about for themselves by calling Uber or Lyft?
Well, in New York City, I talk to people and they just call without hesitation. And I'm like, you know, that's illegal. And they say, I don't care. It's better than a taxi cab. So that's the problem that you have. I see Uber in China just got in buco trouble here. So these guys' attitude has been better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. And I'm not sure that that's going to work for them in the long run. The cab drivers are really upset, and cab drivers provide a really important service in cities. The cab service in most cities sucks, and that's why these Uber guys and Lyft guys are making a headway, is because the cars are clean, the people are, you know, they speak English, they know where they're going. You know, the cab drivers could take a little hint from this, and if they cleaned up their act, they wouldn't have to worry about the competition. I mean, really and seriously, you know, it's just, but cabs in New York City, if you don't get along with a cab and a subway, only an idiot rents it. Remember this, folks, if there's one thing I can tell you that to take away from this radio show, if you ever go to New York City, only an idiot rents a car in New York City. because there's no reason for it. Boston, what a great town. Those are the most, how long did you live there, Steve?
About a year.
those are the most hardy people. I've never been to Maine in the winter, and I'm guessing Mainers are even better than that. I'm guessing you don't even see Mainers. They're probably just covered with everything. But Boston people just, you know, it's 5 degrees outside or 5 below zero, and they're just going about their business just like stuff happens every day.
Yeah, but what does a tourist do? Because so many of the attractions are outside. What did you do when you were in Boston?
Well, but not really. Well, I was in Boston to check out some hotels for a couple of upcoming sports leisure vacations trips. We hadn't been to them, and I felt like it cost a lot of money and took a lot of time, but I went anyway. But No, because things are inside. Like, you know, the Tea Party music. You can't walk the Freedom Trail. That's one example of something that you can't do. But most things that you would go and see or go and do are indoors. So, and hotel rates really reflect the fact that it's a lot easier to get places. It's a lot easier, you know, the subways aren't as crowded, the taxis aren't as crowded, the restaurants aren't as crowded. It's just a better time to travel. But you've got to be willing to put up with the fact that, you know, the weather. And the other thing is, if you travel in the winter, now you're on business and you have to get somewhere, point A to point B, I understand that. But if you're traveling in the wintertime and you're dealing with all this weather all over the place and you didn't prepare for the possibility that you could be delayed somewhere along the way, then you shouldn't be traveling. Because, I mean, in the wintertime, it's, you know, yesterday I had a 40-minute connection in O'Hare with a plane that had been to two different cities and already been through Chicago once that day. So the chances of me making that connection, I made it and everything was fine. But I knew going in, I mean, I threw the toothbrush and the underwear into the backpack because I said, you know, you may not get home tonight. As it was, I got home and my luggage didn't. Phone hasn't rang yet. United
still doesn't
love me.
Well, by the way, and we do want to remind folks, and I did this on my trip to San Antonio where there was a lot of rain. If you're traveling in that winter weather, take the Mark Hoffman tip, and that is take your luggage, get that plastic bag that you get your laundry in when you go to the dry cleaners or whatever, and you put that inside your luggage, and then you put your clothes and so forth in it and wrap it up nice and tight. So that it's somewhat waterproof, because generally your luggage is not. You zip it up, you travel through these cold, wet, windy places, your luggage ends up on the tarmac, and it gets in the middle of a rainstorm because somebody forgot to cover the luggage carrier with a tarp, and you get a whole nice luggage full of water instead of what you were expecting.
Well, thank you. That was extremely well done, Mr. Romano.
Thank you. I take my lessons well.
You listen, but you know what? That is something in the wintertime that people just don't do, and it is something that it's so simple to do that, to wrap up your luggage. And the other thing really is you've got to think about the fact. Oh, wait. Oh, there's United Airlines here. Oh, it's just a text message. It's not a phone call.
Okay, what does it say?
Let's see what it says. United bag update for file SMF, blah, 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 blah. Your bag is set up for delivery. Track at wheresmysuitcase.com. Delivery window is 6 hours after pickup. So that
proves we are live, ladies and gentlemen.
So what does that mean? Your luggage is there or not?
It means that it's arrived in Sacramento, and sometime in the next 6 hours, they're going to find me and deliver it to me. So it's hallelujah type time. And speaking of hallelujah, Heather is even back.
Heather's back to do some news. And
I thought maybe Heather wouldn't come back after what happened to her. You know, she was sitting in here trying to do the news and all these guys came tromping into the newsroom.
No, she come tromping in to interrupt you.
No, Heather would never do that.
Ed Perkins with Smarter Travel joins us after the news right here on KFBK. Stick around. Thanks for joining us. Travel Guys on KFBK every Sunday at 3 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
So United sends me this thing, and they say, you know, go to wheresmysuitcase.com. So I go there, and I enter this number, and it says...
I love that website name.
Yeah, wheresmysuitcase.com. And it says, we have your bag, and it's waiting to be assigned baggage recovered at 4:30 p.m., which I find to be really interesting because it's only 3:35 right now. So they apparently know ahead of time, they know they can see into the future, and they know that they'll be recovering my suitcase in about 55 minutes, and then begins the arduous process of it coming to me. Of course, they have my office address, so we'll see. They're supposed to call me before the bag comes out, so we'll see. Next week we'll report back.
Yeah, well, when we were in the Southwest, I had Sports Leisure Vacations book our flight. So with my lost luggage, when they walked up to the counter and explained it to, they said, "Well, we'll deliver it to the," and then they blurted out the address of your office. And I go, "No, that's not where I want that luggage to go." Even though it is close to where I live.
Well, you know, your luggage doesn't always travel with you, even though it's supposed to. We have a guest on the line here all the way from Ashland, Oregon. Joining us is our buddy Ed Perkins. Good afternoon, Mr. Perkins.
Good afternoon to you guys.
Hi, Ed.
Hi.
How be things up in Oregon? Things are kind of hazy and foggy down here today.
Well, right at the moment, as I look out my window, I would say it's fixing to rain, but... Not much, I think.
It's fixing. Do you live in Ashland proper, or do you live in one of the little suburban areas outside of town? Or
well, Ashland is pretty suburban itself. It's only 20,000 people.
That's
so
true.
it's there's not much of a city. As they said about Oakland, there is no there.
You live in one of the nicest places in the country, though. I really will tell you, Ashland is a wonderful little city.
Oh, yeah, it is. And because of the Shakespeare Festival and because of the university, there's an awful lot of stuff to see and do.
Ed, we talk with you from time to time about things that will help consumers be a smarter traveler. Of course, you write for smartertravel.com, and one of the things that you've espoused about is ways for people to book hotel rooms that, you know, we all know that you can call the hotel or you can go online, but perhaps there's more than one way to skin a cat. What might that be?
Oh, it's a more complicated process than you might think. In the first place, it isn't always I want the cheapest. Unlike the case of airfares, where travelers seem to be able to be willing to put up with all kinds of miserable treatment for the lowest fare, people are concerned about what sort of product they're going to get when they arrange a hotel. And, for example, I have a bad back. I used a Priceline to get a hotel. It turned out that the hotel they gave me had no elevator. And I really don't do stairs well. So, I mean, these are things that you risk if in the interest of just cutting the price to the bone. Another interesting feature that's coming is that Amazon is moving into the hotel marketplace.
Aha.
And given their clout, it's hard to see how this will not have a big impact. It hasn't started much yet. I mean, it's just sort of in a developmental stage. But I think we know enough about Amazon to know that if it moves into a marketplace, there's a huge impact. So I think that's one we're going to want to watch.
Now, Ed, are you finding that when people book, generally, if people go to a hotel website and the hotel website says this is the lowest price and we guarantee it, in your observation, is that turning out to be the lowest price in most cases?
In most cases, it is, although there's a lot of anecdotal stuff on the Internet about individual instances where somebody found a lower price online somewhere else. And oftentimes the hotel will come back and say, oh, well, yeah, but that was a different product. They try to weasel out of those lowest price guarantees, and usually you're going to find, and in an open purchase, it's usually pretty hard to beat the hotel's price. But that's not true if you use an opaque deal like Priceline or Hotwire.
Right, because the hotel property at that case, if you're using a site that doesn't allow you to know where you're staying, then the hotel is not obligated to match that price.
That's right.
So in some cases, you can pick up, and some hotels, some brand name parent company hotels, Hilton, Sheraton, Marriott, will not do business with some of the third-party people, but some of them will. I want to mention right here at TravelGuysRadio.com is where we have posted Ed's article about new ways to book a hotel room, and so you can go there and see some of what Ed has, plus there's a whole lot of other stuff on there. Ed, I want to ask you about another thing here quickly before we let you go today to kind of shift gears a little bit. When people sign, when we check into a hotel or we take out a rental car, we sign all kinds of stuff with all kinds of fine print. I don't know anybody I've never seen anyone stand there and read all of that fine print. What are we signing? And are we signing away our life? Are we in trouble here? What's your take on this?
Ed read all this stuff?
I don't know.
Did you read all of it?
Ed, yeah.
I have read all of it from some people at some times, simply to explore some of the problems. But
right.
The fact is, what you're dealing with here is what is legally called a contract of adhesion. And that means a contract that is negotiated between two parties of very unequal economic strength, where the offeror essentially says, take it or leave it. And without your knowing that you probably won't read the fine print then, and if you did, you'd gasp. This is an ongoing problem, not just in the travel industry, but everywhere. And the interesting thing about it and frustrating thing about it is that if you actually get into an argument that's enough to take it to court, the courts have been very inconsistent about whether they will uphold those contracts or overturn them, saying no, this was not a reasonable contract.
Now, Ed, what choice really does a consumer have? You walk into a hotel or someplace like that, and they're asking you to sign something and put your initials here and put your initials here and sign this. And what if you say, well, no, I don't agree with this? Then they're not going to rent you the car. They're not going to let you have the hotel room. No. They're if you don't sign that contract that gives away all of your rights, what alternatives do consumers have?
Stay home.
There you go. You know, let me point this out, that here again, you know, people will willy-nilly sign those because they know that they won't be able to rent or stay if they don't, and they're willing to be obligated to whatever the rules are. But at the same time, by law, if you sign a contract that has illegal restrictions or parts of it that are illegal, it's not binding. So,
such as now in the state of California, they some places are trying to get you to sign something in those contracts that say you won't post a bad review about us online, but there's now a law in the state of California that you can't, as a business, restrict consumers in that way. So there's an example of exactly what you're talking about. Ed, stay home is the only example. Do you think that there's any relief coming for consumers in this area down the road?
It'll come as it has in California, sort of state by state. I think that the federal government is unlikely to do anything, but some of the more progressive states around the country, which usually means on both coasts, are likely to do something about this the way California has. So it's going to be gradual.
Ed, we've got about a minute. Any predictions for the travel arena in 2015?
There's one thing I would like to add quickly, if anybody's thinking about going overseas, and that is there's a new racket on foreign exchange. A lot of major airports overseas have kicked out the real banks having ATMs there, and instead given ATM monopoly to companies that are basically retail foreign exchange companies. And they tell you, there's no withdrawal fee. And that's true, but you get a really lousy exchange rate. So that's something new that's just cropped up in the last couple of years, and I just want to warn people about that.
Just ways to make you a smarter travel. If you want to see more of what Ed Perkins writes, you can go to smartertravel.com. It's really one of the best websites for the average guy on the street. And Ed opines there on a regular basis of things that are of interest to the common guy. Ed Perkins from Ashland, Oregon, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
We are the travel guys opining here on KFBK. I love that phrase.
I like that word.
All right. Coming up, off to Rio with Steve LaRosa next on the Travel Guys. Headed to Rio.
Sort of.
Yeah, with Steve LaRosa. Steve, you know, you went to Rio, and I'm noticing you're just as pale as usual. What happened? No tan from Rio?
Well, fellas, to quote Strother Martin from Cool Hand Luke, I think we have a failure to communicate here. Actually, I went to Rio Linda.
Oh,
Rio Linda.
Oh. We let him in on the show to take us to Rio Linda.
He says, I went to Rio.
No, he said to Rio.
I'm thinking he went to Rio.
We got him a theme song.
You know, we went to all of this trouble.
Tough crowd over here all of a sudden. You guys want your money back?
Even Rush Limbaugh didn't rhyme with Rio.
True. Anyway, well, with that being said, I'm sure Steve never lets us down.
That's true. We'll try to salvage this. Now we have hundreds, perhaps thousands, if not tens of thousands of listeners throughout the greater Sacramento area who are thinking to themselves, wow, Rio de Janeiro, Rio Linda, it's a toss-up.
Really, yeah. It truly is. Why don't you guys ask me, what did I find in Rio Linda?
What did you find, Steve, in Rio Linda?
Well, you can't go to Rio Linda. Well, let's start with The Rio Linda Arch. Might as well start there.
Tom, I just want to interrupt here and just say, is there ever a travel show in history that's ever done a feature on Rio Linda?
Yeah, we've got a lot of firsts.
Cutting edge is what they call
it. We live
us.
On the edge, don't we?
Okay,
we
absolutely
do.
Rio Linda Arch.
Tell us about
the arch. I don't know if I've seen the arch.
It's the center of town. I showed you guys a picture earlier.
Right, I didn't see that.
It hovers above the one intersection in the middle of town.
Mm-hmm. If I can be gracious, it's in need of some refurbishing.
They've been working on the renovation, and I asked one of the people from Rio Linda there, well, what's involved with the renovation? He said, they put up some lights and did a couple other things, and that was the renovation.
Well, all kidding aside, you know, every community has some nuggets, some places to eat and things to see. So with that being said, tell us what you got from us for Rio Linda.
Well, if you go to Rio Linda, you got to go to Bowinkle's. It's one of those great old burger shacks, and it features, dare I say it, the Rush Limbaugh burger.
Yeah, by the way, the officially unauthorized Rush Limbaugh burger, I have a feeling.
Well, after all the grief he's given Rio Linda over the last, 30 years?
He owes them.
He owes them, yeah. Absolutely. If they made a buck off of him, there's nothing wrong with that.
I talked to...
Did you try one?
Not this trip. I have before, and they were very good. But that thing is like a pound and a half.
Pound and a half of meat.
And it costs $16.99.
It's a lot of bull.
Yeah. You know, I talked to a guy who publishes the newspaper there in Rio Linda, and I said, well, what do people think about Limbaugh, you know, in terms of putting you guys on the map? He said, it's pro and con, he said, but he quoted one Limbaugh line that I thought was hysterically funny. He said, a tornado came through and did $40,000 worth of improvements on the place.
Well, hey, they also say there's no such thing as bad publicity.
He made his name in part off of Rio Linda. So, you know, there you go. What else? Bowinkles.
Bowinkles. And you know who else made the town famous was President Bill Clinton. He stopped in there at the original Granite's and had the chili. And they actually, I think they still sell these T-shirts there with Billy's Chili.
How did the president end up in Rio Linda? Was he like on his way to the airport
I think I'm going to say, I'm guessing it was during the floods back in, was it the early 90s?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Well, it had to be sometime in the 90s because, you know, with the president thing and stuff.
Again, the unauthorized, I'm sure.
Yes.
Billy's Chili.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you're Rio Linda, you know, what the heck? I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of this stuff.
Go ahead. Sue us.
And Tom, as a musician, I'm going to give you a little trivia question. Went to the 145 Club. Now, why do you think they named it the 145
Club? The 145 Club.
I'm stumped.
Mm. It has to do with a musical pentameter of 1-4-5, a chord progression kind of thing.
Okay. Oh, sure. Okay.
Oh, now the musicians are going to talk technical on me.
The
1-4-5.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they feature country, blues, comedy, rock and roll, and
I thought maybe the harmony would be 1-3-5. That would be, you know, the first, the third, and the fifth. But I don't know where they got the fourth.
Meanwhile, Rio Linda.
Well, maybe if we give them a buzz, we'll talk them into changing the name one of these weeks in your honor. We also went to the Taqueria Milindo Apatzingan.
Nice.
The what?
Taqueria Milindo Apatzingan.
Oh, okay.
And I got to say about this place, the homemade corn tortillas were just awesome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would go there for the tortillas.
Mm-hmm. Was anything else awesome or just the tortillas?
The mocajete they had was... it was fiery.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, the lava bowl with all the different fish and the meat and the chicken and all that good stuff. It was fiery.
So now in Rio Linda, do they have community events? I mean, I've never lived in Rio Linda. I've lived in Sacramento all my life. And this is not a rag on Rio Linda, certainly. But what do they do in Rio Linda to have a sense of community?
I am so glad you asked me that question, Mark. I am told the biggest event of the year, the Little League Parade.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, is that the beginning of the Little League baseball season, I would imagine?
Presumably so, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always better attended than if they have it in December.
Right. Well, they could have it at the end of the season.
I miss baseball season right now. I almost wore my Giants hat. You know, you bought me a new... I wore my Cardinals shirt today.
Right, I noticed.
And I have a Giants hat
weird
for Christmas
with your Giants
somebody.
Hat.
Yeah, it would. A giant cardinal thing just wouldn't. It would cause problems in the grocery store and stuff like that. So you're out in Rio Linda, and you've gone around. Now, you told these folks that you were nosing around for a radio program. What did they say to you?
I mean, everybody was very friendly and very welcoming, and they all pretty much had a great sense of humor about the whole Limbaugh thing and
yeah.
You know, the.
I understand that Rio Linda is somewhat famous or popular for a Mexican bakery. What do you know about the...
the INC. Yeah, it's authentic Mexican bakery, and they got a lot of fresh stuff. When we were there, stuff was coming right off the rack. And I think we got these little apple turnovers and some cornbread.
Yeah.
Not really Mexican.
So
treats,
I have an idea. What you should do is that not just for Rio Linda. I think you should do this for other communities around here because I think it's interesting to find out. Like for me, I'll go out to Bullwinkle's and have a Rush Limbaugh burger. I mean, seriously, I will. You know, there's a
better save up $16.99 by the way. For
yeah.
The, $16.99 burger.
But you should
share it with a friend.
You should go out and check out other places. I mean, there are other great communities around here. There's Galt and. Rancho Cordova and
I could be banned
Rockland
in Bakers. I could be banned in Bakersfield before this thing is over.
You could do Steve LaRosa with some things to do in Rio Linda. Besides just give Rush Limbaugh a bad time. Yeah,
bring up the music.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
My pleasure
for coming by. And Steve is almost a part of a travel guy here. He shows up every once in a while and. With things of interest. We have a winner in the Travel Guys Sports Leisure Traveler Contest, which has had some morphification over the last...
go ahead and explain the rules and
the rules
tell us
are
where you are.
That it's the jackpot starts at $100, and last week's winner did not call in, so the jackpot goes to $200, and this week's winner is Sharon Galvin, who went with us down to Harris Ranch for a New Year's Eve overnighter that is legendary, and sometime I'll tell you about this overnighter at Harris Ranch on New Year's Eve. But anyway, Sharon, if you're listening to the radio, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday. You have won a $200 travel certificate, and if we don't hear from Sharon next week, it will be worth $300. And by the way, speaking of prizes, if you won a prize on the Travel Guys with us in December and you never received it, it's probably because your email is keeping us from communicating, and there's still four people.
Or Tom, in the translation of the email from handwriting to email may have been messed up.
Yes, it's possible that something might
have been. Who are we looking for?
But we're looking for, I don't want to just go down the names, but let's just say if you won a prize from the Travel Guys in December and you've never received it, you call Luis at 921-1530, 921-1530 if you won a prize and you didn't get it, and we will check our list and make sure that you get your prize.
921.
No, you didn't win any prizes. You know what? I have a thing here, a new strategy. Forget, when it comes to credit cards, forget the airlines. Get a hotel credit card. I really think that's the better way to go.
And the reason?
Because hotel rooms are almost always available. And airline seats, let's face it, you want the airline seat you want on the day you want to go with the connection you want. It's almost never available.
Yeah.
So my thought is pay for your airline tickets and start concentrating on the hotel things. We'll probably have
I think that's great advice.
Well, I'm seeing this more and more. By the way, I want to tell those folks who are not interested that United Airlines not only notified me that my bag has arrived in Sacramento, but while Steve LaRosa was pontificating there, they called me and said they had my bag and they were supposed to check with me before they delivered it. And that's exactly the way the system was supposed to work.
Well, I guess we need to wrap this up so you can hustle back to the office and get your bag.
And get my bag. Next week, I'll be on the road from New Orleans. We'll have Chris Elliott with us in studio, probably a Travel Channel guest or two, right here on the Travel Guys at 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us, folks. Don't forget, tune in during the week. KFBK, Mark has a travel tip of the week. We'll be doing that. In the meantime, you have yourself a fabulous, fabulous week. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, fellas.
Appreciate you for having you participate. Ed Perkins, thanks for calling in. Heather is next with the news. We are the Travel Guys. Have a good week.